where we are in churches because of our families. And so today, as we look at that text, I'd like to talk about Timothy. So I'm going to give you a little background about Timothy before we get to the next slide. Timothy was Paul's trusted confidant. And despite his youth, Timothy quickly gained Paul's confidence and served at his trusted companion and emissary for 17 years. Timothy was born in Lystra in Asia Minor to a Greek father and a Jewish mother, Eunice. His mother and grandmother probably became Christians when Paul and Barnabas preached in Lystra during their first missionary journey. When Paul returned a year or so later, he invited Timothy to join him and Silas. Somehow, he managed to stay out of harm's way. He was not jailed with Paul and Silas in Philippi, and he avoided the riot of Thessalonica. But when Paul needed an envoy to return to Thessalonica to encourage the new believers, there he sent young Timothy. Timothy was a young man. Later, Paul sent Timothy as an emissary to Corinth, where he preached for some time. Paul called Timothy his beloved and faithful child in the Lord. When Paul was imprisoned in Rome, it's Timothy he asked to come before winter to comfort him. Eusebius, the fourth century historian, said that after Paul's death, Timothy became the bishop of Ephesus, probably at around age 40. He outlived Paul by 30 years, and according to one tradition, was present at the death of the Virgin Mary, whose tomb is said to be near Ephesus. Can you imagine? This tradition also says that because he protested the festivities honoring Artemis, which is the god, the false god, he was stoned to death in 97. His relics were brought to Constantinople in 356. So Timothy was a faithful servant of the Lord and came to know Christ through Paul. But it began with his grandmother and his mother. Next slide. And so we want to talk about passing the baton to the next generation. And I believe that we live in a world now, especially I talk about the United States where I am, and certainly the Northeast where I am, in New York, where we see so many young people now who know nothing, no moral, and I'm talking about believing in Jesus Christ, but certainly no moral. I believe many parents have left their children to raise themselves, or even there's no correction. For young people to be so evil and cruel, to look at another person and shoot them to death just like that, something is not being passed on. A baton is this thing that when you pass it on, when you look at the races, it means that what? You're taking it and passing it on to get to the finish line. And friends, we are all running to the finish. If we're Christian believers, we are running to the finish line. Amen? And the finish line is that when we leave this earth, we are going to see Jesus. But our responsibility is not just to run our own race. It is also to what? To leave a deposit in our children. Leave a deposit in our children so they too can run the race. Right? People says, when I get to heaven, I want to make sure I see my children and my grandchildren, and yet still they don't bring them to Sunday school. And I'm going to say some other point. just bringing them to Sunday school and don't talk about Jesus in the homes and so. And as soon as they get confirmation in the United Methodist Church, I'll talk about the church I belong to, then they no longer come to church. Nothing happens. No relationship is built with Jesus Christ. That means we have not passed the baton on. And let me tell you, all the money in the world will not help them. Money buys things. Money can give us big house and nice cars and all of that. But there are a lot of folks with all that money, and they still commit suicide, young people. The rate of suicide is very high in young folks because guess what? There is no relationship with a God that they could talk to that will save them. No relationship. They have relationships now with their iPhones. And we too, right? Have relationships with the phones in their hand and all the things online. We have not been passing on the right baton to these young people, which is expected of us. I don't know if you, as you grew up, I remember having to get up and go to church every Sunday with my mom. Sometimes my father didn't show up, but, you know, my mom did. And whether I wanted to go or not, it was not a question. It was not, are you going? It was, here we go. And I must say, there were many deposits in my soul that I did not know till I needed it. I would grumble. I would, you know, why do I have to get up because the neighbor kid isn't going or whatever? But thanks be to God that there were deposits that was put in my soul in the church that I did not know, but that I could draw from later on because my mother passed the baton and my dad. I say my mother because she was really the church person, more so. You see, next slide, passing the baton of faith. Many of these, we see these young people who have no faith. They only have faith in things. If their phone doesn't work, they go crazy. Something happened in school, they lose their mind. They have no faith in a God. They do not have the faith in a God that they know that they could pray to God. And we are the ones who did not teach them that. We as parents have to live our lives, not just come to church and tuck it away. Come to church and tuck it away once we leave the church. We never talk about God in our homes again, so they have nothing to turn to. You know, it has been said, research has said that even in hospitals, they find out that people of a faith comes to sicknesses and face death differently than those who have no faith, no belief. Because for us, we believe that there's a God who is with us and a God who will bring us through. Amen? Passing the baton of faith. And so, what does pass the baton mean? It means, next slide, please, my brother. Thank you. It means to pass a job and responsibility on to another. And over the baton. Pass the baton and pick up, and so that they could pick it up, right? And that's, it means passing over responsibility, telling them so they know you are passing over the responsibility to them for their own lives at that moment, right? So they will have something to draw on. Because friends, if you don't know that, I'm telling you now, we're not going to be here forever. And we've got to lead them, and we want to lead them with something that money can't buy. Something that will last forever. Because if money could save us completely, then none of these folks who are dying, who have all that money, committed suicide, would not have died. It says here, the next point is, if someone picks up the baton, they take over the responsibility for someone. It's like he wants them to what? Keep the faith for the family. Let's be that kind of family that your mother had faith and your grandfather, your grandmother had faith, and and you're keeping the faith for this family. We're going to believe in God. Can you make all of them do? No, but it's your job to what? To try to instill it in them, friends. When they go away to college and they will be faced with drugs and all of that, they will have that what? Backbone and that background that they could say, no, I'm not going to do it. That is not part of my family structure. Because you have what? Passed it on to them. Next slide. What does the Bible say about passing the baton? The Bible says that after Joshua and his generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord. Joshua received the baton but failed to pass it on. How many of us have failed to pass it on to our children? How many of us? I thank God. I always say, I have one child, and I always say I may not do many things right, but one thing I know, she knows Jesus Christ and the pardon of her sin. And she is doing the same with my granddaughter. Because if not, I probably would have to strangle her. And that's not very Christian, but I probably would. Right? Because I know she's not going to be there forever, neither am I. And oftentimes when I pray for my granddaughter, I says, Lord, let her grow up to be this young lady who loves you, Lord Jesus, no matter what she attains in this world, no matter where she gets to, no matter, you know, how gifted she is, one thing I'm asking, Lord, that she grows up to love you and to accept you as her Lord and Savior. That is always my prayer for her. I don't want to fail to pass it on. Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. It began with the grandmother that many of us who have had grandmothers, all of us, right, who was there as a matriarch and tell us about the Lord. Sometimes we laugh at them, but Lord knows they were depositing faith in us, giving it to our mother and fathers, and then making it live in us. Something that they could grasp. Something for your future. Next slide. 5 ways to pass the baton of faith to our kids. Number 1. Consistently model your faith. Parents, grandparents here today, you have to model your faith in the house. You have to believe and act like you believe so they could what? See you. Because we learn by seeing oftentimes. As parents, we cannot pass what we do not possess. Passing on the baton of faith begins when we get serious about our own relationship with God. How many folks in here, when their grandkids or kids come over to be with them, they sit down and read the Bible with them? A simple scripture. Right? A simple scripture. Sit them down next to them and says, let's read this. Get the children Bible. Their beautiful children Bible. With lovely stories. Right? That are easier to sit them down and read it. So, you know, we go out and we buy these books by authors and whatever. But there are a lot of beautiful Christian books for the young ones that we could sit and read it with them and model for them what it means to know God and to know Jesus Christ. Number 2, maximize daily encounters. Next slide. Maximize daily encounters. It is essential that we look for simple ways to connect God to real life. For example, model for your children the importance of giving back to God through the church. And I'm telling you, parents, I know I said this a long time ago, when your kids are coming to Sunday school, even a nickel, that's what I gave the kids today, a nickel. I washed up little nickels. I was looking for quarters, but I didn't have any. And I says, when you go to Sunday school, put it in the plate. What are you doing? You're maximizing, you're telling them, when you come to church, you give something back to the Lord. Could be a nickel, could be a penny. But you're what? Planting the seed, friends. planting the seed. And they'll get up and they'll come with their little penny or their dime or whatever, and they'll put it in the plate upstairs. It's not the amount of money, it's the fact that they understand that the work of the Lord must continue. Amen? Number three, nurture godly character. Nurturing godly character is not teaching our kids to live, is about teaching our kids to live a biblical lifestyle by aligning their head, heart, and hands with God, right? That we don't separate. You know, it is God, they know God in their heart, they understand God in their head, and their hands will be used to serve God. Therefore, these kids, they want to come to church and want to get involved in ministry of the church. I've got to get these young people back now that COVID has quieted down a bit. We've got to get the youth group and so on, these young folks, back to be what? Serving the Lord. Our youth group are not serving the Lord anymore. Dana isn't here. She may be in that back room. But they used to go and make things and visit and make cards for the nursing homes and packages and all of that, teaching them that what is expected of them. We have not been doing that because of COVID. And I know Dana is busy now, but we have got to get back to that. Teaching them. Mission in the world. We're United Methodists. There are a lot of mission on our website. Simple things. To let them know it's not just all about them. It's about other people too that are in need. Teaching them how to give back. Next slide. Make God normal, not formal. Many of us have made God so formal that our kids don't want to be bothered, right? You know, I joke with the kids when I'm talking about the Lord, and when I'm with the youth, I joke around with them. I'll say something funny concerning Jesus. We laugh. We passing the baton of faith is about an everyday relationship with God, not an every week religion about God, not just showing up in church on a Sunday and it's a religion, but it's an everyday relationship, right? You talk to them about God in your house. Talk to about God, you know, sometimes when you sit to have a meal. People don't want to sit to have a meal in their house and say a prayer, right? And say a prayer now when we sit, oh Lord, I thank you for this meal. We relegate it to religion because we only do it on Thanksgiving Day. What about when God feeds us all year round? Is it only Thanksgiving that we eat? No. When they sit to eat, we say, bless your food. Bless it. It's a gift from God. Gift to us. The gift is that God gave me the strength, you the parent, I mean, to work, to provide. You know, there are people who work very hard in this world and have nothing because the areas they are, not because they're lazy, but they're in communities that have nothing. And then we are blessed to be working even less than them or as hard as them, and but we have resources. Teach the kids. Make a relationship with Jesus Christ important. Let them be able to talk with God. Talk to Jesus. That's why they're in such trouble, right? Because what? They have no relationship with God. And last point. And then you make the exchange. Our priority is to transfer our child's dependency away from us until their dependency rests solely on God. We should transfer the baton because, as I tell you already, we are not going to be here forever. And we may leave them stocks and bonds and a house and cars and jewelry and everything in the world and all the money that the world can possess, and they still end up committing suicide or still end up spending it all or still have a miserable life, right? So you want to be able to teach them the things that you know will sustain them. Tell them about how difficult it had been for your family before you made the money. Remind them that we are basically over this church, one would say a blue-collar church overwhelmingly, right? There's some folks who have more than others, but we are not. This church is not a church where people are making 300,000, 400,000 a year or whatever, right? Well, if you are, thanks be to God, you could bring some to the church. But we're not that kind of church overall, right? So we know, even those who are making that kind of money, we know where we're coming from. When we didn't have much, when our parents didn't have much, and they had to work in factories and places so that they could leave us something, tell your children about that history, how God brought you through, brought your family through, passed the baton to them so that they can learn to love God. Amen. Because Jesus says, next slide, even a little faith is very powerful. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you want your children to begin to have faith. And it could be as small as a mustard seed, and it will bring them through. They'll know where to call. So therefore, friends, as I close, as a church, we are entrusted to pass the baton of faith from one generation to the next. And as parents, Christian parents, we are the church. We are the church. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is a people. That's what the song says. So we, as a church, we are instructed to pass the baton of faith from one generation to the next. So when we teach them in Sunday school, when the teachers teach them, please help them. Help them. When you bring them home, ask them, what did you learn today? And see if they can tell you a little story they learned. And then maybe you could read it yourself, learn something, and discuss it with them. Pass the baton of faith, friends. We could change a nation because we could change a whole generation. A lot of them, now that they're running the streets, they're not lost because no one is ever lost to the Lord. But it's harder work to get them. But the ones that are coming up, my God, we could really step out by faith and begin to make a difference in their lives. Amen.